Scripture is from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 6. I, myself, Paul, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away. I ask that when I am present, I need not show boldness by daring to oppose those who think we are acting according to human standards. Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. We are ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Carl. This message is called Humans Suffer, But Jesus Delivers. It's part of a series called Christology, which means the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I want to start by just saying the greatest quarterback of all time sat on the bench for an entire season. You're wondering how I'm going to put that together. But Tom Brady, as has become famous, was the 199th player chosen in the NFL draft in the year 2000. It took an injury to the Patriots' star quarterback in 2001, and it was an injury that everyone on the Patriots football team whose name was not Tom Brady thought was disastrous and season-destroying. It took that injury to discover just what an amazing resource they had available to help them. Two generations ago, businesses spoke about having a personnel department. Now it's HR, human resources, and that's a much better term. It's wrong for employees to be treated as if they were little more than interchangeable parts, not appreciated for their individual skills or training or personal qualities. To have experts in human resources is to bring to the arena of industry what has been true for years in the areas of both military and sports. To map a strategy, a field officer takes into consideration the units on the field and what they are capable of doing. That's military. In sports, a coach or field manager puts the players on the field who are able to best perform against an opponent. The best employees, the best soldiers, the best military units, and the best athletes are those who perform best no matter what kind of conditions they face. Before this COVID-19 emergency became full-fledged in our area, I had begun preaching this series on Christology, the nature and work of Jesus Christ. We considered the eternal nature of His Word, His healing power, His immortality, His eternal diligence, and His being the bread of life. And last week, on our first Facebook live stream, we considered how even though people practice favoritism, Jesus blessing the little children was an instance that demonstrates that He invites everyone to come to Him without being a respecter of persons. And for previous messages in this area, visit our webpage and click on resources. So what's the connection? Well, Jesus came to serve. He wants to help you in your life. He is God in the flesh, the living representative of your Heavenly Father, who wants the best for His children. I've got to ask, have you given full access to Jesus Christ in your life? Some people only see Him as teacher. Some only as Savior, some only as friend. The more you know about the person and work of Jesus, the more you will realize the benefits of putting Him in charge of your whole life. Jesus is much more than an amazing resource, but He is at least that. Jesus said, I will be with you always, and forgive me, but that means He isn't about to leave your team and go sign with Tampa Bay. The characteristic I want to look at today is Jesus the deliverer. Humans suffer, but Jesus delivers. There are many different ways that humans suffer. As we've learned in the last 2.5 months, new paths to suffering pop up without warning. One of my closest friends went to live in India as a missionary about 15 years ago. He went with a well-established mission organization that had learned the value of preparing its people for the variety of circumstances they might encounter in a primitive area. Even though Tom went in order to train local pastors, he had to complete a medical intensive seminar. In a newspaper article published this week, he described being alerted then to the possibilities of what we are going through now. Quote, when the facilitator for one of the sessions made the comment that the question of a global pandemic was not if, but when. The facilitator quoted CDC as saying, our world is well overdue for such a pandemic. As we become aware of the physical suffering that the COVID-19 coronavirus can cause, we learn to do our best to prevent the spread of the disease, and by recognizing the symptoms, help those who contract it to receive medical assistance as quickly as possible. But other forms of human suffering continue. Yesterday, a small portion of those who loved Ralph and Peggy Gronlund gathered here to say goodbye to a loving husband and wife who stood beside each other for 38 years, including 8 as cancer patients. They died within 9 days of each other. Suffering has many causes. Those who live under oppressive regimes continue to struggle to survive. Bullies and abusers continue to spread pain. And sadly, those whose mind is not trustworthy continue to endure a distortion of what God intended their lives to be. Of course, there are more kinds of pain, but no matter how it comes to us, we always try to alleviate it with various degrees of effectiveness. There's another whole set of problems that are primarily issues of human relationships, and the world's way of building your own personal kingdom will only increase those problems. But if we learn relationship skills from the Son of God, Jesus, who came among us as one who serves, we go a long way towards improving those situations. You heard our first scripture reading for the day from Carol, from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. New Testament letters are usually written in response to a situation in the church they are written to. One problem going on in Corinth was spiritual pride evident among the leadership. A miraculous dream had called Paul to bring the message of Jesus to this important city. But the good work he had done among them was threatened by counterproductive leadership. Paul describes them as those who reason that we order our lives according to what is merely physical. He then went on to explain the metaphysical, the spiritual element that is at work in so many situations we encounter. Humans suffer. Worse still, we often don't know what to do about our suffering. The majority of the world's population is focused on the coronavirus. Great throngs of people feel powerless to confront it. And one great cause of suffering right now is not the virus itself, but fear and dread that surround it. So yes, we have a pandemic, but no, it doesn't have to lead to pandemonium. One who is stronger than any disease is among us. Jesus came into many situations that were laced with fear and dread. Listen while I read Mark 1, verses 23 to 28 from the New Revised Standard Version. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. There is a spiritual component to many troubles we face. We might face illness, but the real threat is how we are going to deal with that illness. To speak plainly, how are we going to face the death that the illness threatens to bring our way. Death was coming, but it's bringing it sooner than we expected. How are we going to deal with it? Humans can panic. There is one who wants us to panic. The Bible calls this enemy of the human race, an enemy of God's purpose, Satan or the devil. Jesus spoke of him often, but always as one he, Jesus, had defeated. The Bible speaks of angels, spiritual creatures who do God's bidding, but also unclean spirits who are opposed to the purposes of God. In our gospel reading, we learn that one of these unclean spirits had taken up residence in a man who came to worship God, but was prevented by this spiritual suffering. Jesus wasn't about to stand for that. He made short work of the problem, delivered the man from his trouble. And you run into the crowd's reaction to Jesus' teaching throughout the Gospels, that he taught as one with authority. See, other rabbis of the time did little more than provide you with a book review, regurgitating what other rabbis had said about a particular passage. Jesus didn't need to refer to other authorities. He was an authority. And he taught by what he did. As Paul wrote in our lesson from 2 Corinthians, Jesus gives us his weapons which demolish strongholds. That word, rendered strongholds in 2 Corinthians, is a word that described reinforced conquered territory that can be either physical or spiritual. And that includes arguments. There are attitudes and standard party lines in our world and in our age that are more accurately party lies. I want us, like Paul, to become better able to demolish these arguments. That's why we'll be studying Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion. You can get it through us or through christianbook.com. The fingerprints of God are evident throughout our world and our life. We need to identify them regularly to our neighbors and to our culture. Now, you may be asking, can Jesus really deliver in this day and age? One ministry that relies on this being true, spread around the world now, is Celebrate Recovery. One of their members, Mike, told his story. My parents divorced when I was 10. I lived with my alcoholic father until I was 16. That led to many unsupervised hours hanging with the wrong crowd. The only way my father knew how to show his love was by enabling my problems, constantly bailing me out of jail. I became addicted to heroin at 13 and later on to meth, and spent the next 40 years chained to a life of drugs, crime, prison time, and broken relationships. At 52, I found myself hopeless, staring down the end of my handgun all alone, broken and ready to end this life. And that's when God stepped in and steered me to a Christian rehab center, which, after I completed their program, ultimately introduced me to a local chapter of Celebrate Recovery. There I found a forever family that loved me just like I was, with no condemnation of my past. I learned the tools I needed to live a successful recovery. In December of 2018, I took my 13-year sobriety chip. I eagerly recommend CR because through it I've witnessed many miracles of God in countless lives. Humans suffer, Jesus delivers. In his 2017 book, The Character Gap, published by Oxford University Press, author Christian B. Miller observes that literally hundreds of studies link religious participation with better moral outcomes. For instance, levels of domestic violence in a U.S. sample were almost twice as high for men who did not attend church versus those who do. Yes, those who oppose God will find examples to the contrary, and we must never condone such behavior. Abuse is a behavior that is a sign that not everyone who has gotten into a church has got Jesus get into them. Just like you can know that people die in hospitals, but their chances are better inside than out. The reality is that humans suffer, but Jesus delivers. I think you can see that understanding today's aspect of the power and work of Jesus, his desire and ability to deliver, is very important to be aware of. We need to utilize it in this age we live in, but we need to do that God's way. In the opening verse of our reading from 2 Corinthians, Paul counseled his readers to exercise the meekness and gentleness or clemency of Christ. Meekness toward God, Murray Harris wrote, is that attitude of accepting his dealings with us as good, without disputing or resisting. It stems from trust in God's goodness, trust in God's control over the situation. Right now, trust in God's goodness, trust in his control over the situation. We've seen how confidently Jesus delivered both the man with the unclean spirit 2,000 years ago and also a modern-day heroin addict with a 40-year habit. The phrase, God is good all the time, is not some little trite saying. There's power here. So speak of the Lord's power to deliver within your sphere of illness. Within your sphere of influence, even regarding this illness. Speak peace to the troubled waters of your family, of your workplace, of your friends' lives and relationship. About 500 years ago, during an outbreak of the plague, Martin Luther wrote the following guidelines about how he was responding and believed we should as well. I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me. I have done what he expected of me, so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith because it neither is brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We don't need to be brash or foolhardy. In the 46th chapter of Psalms, we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble at its swelling. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So whether the crisis we face grows much worse or lightens, it is imperative that we not succumb to the contagious panic which enslaves us to our fears. No matter what happens, the hope of God through Jesus Christ gives every believer a peace that passes all understanding. It is peace that gives stability and perseverance to face insurmountable challenges, insurmountable otherwise foes. In many ways, my friend Tom said, America is soft. Our life is envied by much of the world. Our currency is the gold standard of the world. Our food supply is beyond the imagination of most people living in developing nations. If social distance requirements stretch on, many volunteers will be needed in our communities. You can leave a comment at this post, even, to let me know that you're willing to help. Human need surrounds us. We have available to us one sent from heaven who is a very present help in times of trouble. So don't leave Jesus on the bench in your life. Put him in. May the anxiety and of the present and uncertainty of the future days only seek to deepen our faith in a loving and living God. May it embolden our resolve to live each day to its fullness, no matter what our temporary and passing circumstances may be. Humans suffer, but Jesus delivers. Let's pray. God, thank you that though the mountains crumble into the sea, you will not fail. You are good, you are strong, you are true, and we put our trust in you. We thank you that though humans suffer, you deliver. And Lord Jesus, we want to be your agents. So help us to do that in big and small ways. Help us to listen to you. Thank you that this time of being alone together gives us time to sit quietly before you and let you saturate us. As we do that, help us to hear your voice, that still small voice that nothing can stop. Help us to hear you and know what you ask of us in this time. And again, Lord, we pray that if anyone hearing this is in a situation of concern or anxiety, you would put your peace in their lives and that you would help us as a church, as your people, as your representatives, to be agents of your deliverance. Come, Holy Spirit, shine even now. We thank you, we honor you, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name.